Today is Father's Day, so we are going to talk about the love of the Father for us. We've all had a father. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a bad thing. I don't know. I don't know what kind of example you had of a father. But even the best father in the world can't hold a candle to God the Father. And we could spend a lifetime discovering his love. So let's make a start today, just in the next 20 minutes or so. Ephesians 1 and verse 4 says this. Even as in his love he chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in his sight, even above reproach before him in love. For he foreordained us, planned in love for us to be adopted as his own children through Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful scripture? So who did God choose? He chose you. And he chose me. He chose us. Why? Because he planned to make us his own. He wanted us. It's about like going to the pet shop and all the puppies are there. Or it's for us, it's... what's it we've got? Hamsters. All the hamsters are there. I should remember. I have to clean it. I have to feed it. And you choose which one you want. God chose us. He planned for us. We are his children and he's our father. Verse 4 there says, we're blameless before him in love. We stand in his love. We said already today, we're not alone. We stand in Christ and we're blameless before him. I feel I've got a word of knowledge for someone here today. I've got several prayers I want to break in the spirit realm today, and this is the first one. And the word of knowledge is that you have been blamed for things. The blame has been put at your door. Perhaps even blamed for being born. I don't know. Some people are blamed for being born. I want to break that right now. If that is you, you know in your heart it's you, all you have to do when we close our eyes is lift that up to God. So let's all pray right now. Father, I come against blame in all its shapes and sizes and forms. And if blame has been attached to anybody's life here, even if it's by the enemy himself, I bind it and I break its power right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Verse 5 said he planned to adopt us. God wanted us as his own children. I want you to note this. If our father, our earthly father, didn't plan to have us, or didn't love us, or didn't even know us, or know much about us, then we need to put that in the past. Because God's got a new plan, and his plan is to adopt us as his own. We have a father who wants us. Even if our earthly father didn't even know we existed. I have a friend, and I spent time praying with her years ago now, and the big thing that really hurt her is that her father didn't know she existed until after she was born. He didn't know she was there, and that really hurt her. These small, seemingly to some people, small things can be devastating. And so if anything I speak about today, you think that actually devastated me, Sandra, then get help, get prayer, or just go and shut the door and pray yourself and get it broken off your life. Verse 4 says, in his love he chose us, actually picked us out for his own. You know, when I was 18, my dad died. I was devastated. I was absolutely devastated. Just a young girl. I remember going off to college and, going through life, and you'd see other friends with their father. You know, their father would come and pick them up and take them places and drop them off. And I can remember trying to get home from Edinburgh. I had, a couple of big bags. In fact, I had that green bag there. That's how old that green bag is. That green bag. And I must have had 10 carrier bags. And I had no father to come and pick me up. So I phoned a taxi to come and take me to the station. And the taxi pulled up, seriously dischuffed that I wasn't a rich tourist, you know. He went, you can't get in my taxi with all those bags. I said, well, I've got no other way to get to the station. You've come now. He was just expecting a nice, neat suitcase, but he helped me with about 10 bags. I said, are you going to take me or not? He went, right, okay, get in, I'll take you. You know, and other people were getting picked up by their father. I really missed my dad. I really, really missed him. And then maybe 13 years ago, my mum died as well. I don't have any earthly parents right now. I have never, ever in my whole life felt more parented than I do now. Because I have spent the last several decades asking God to show me that He is my Father. Asking Him to show me the love, the Father heart of God for me. And I'm not saying I've arrived, but I've left. You know, I've left. I've got a daddy now and a mum all rolled into one, because He's everything all rolled into one. And I've been adopted by Him. So I'm not parentless. I'm not fatherless. I'm adopted by God. I'm chosen. Now, we can either let the enemy label us, or we can let God put His label on our life. And my label on me, on my life, says, chosen by God. I'm not going to let the enemy reject me. So what does your label say? What are you believing? Are you believing you're chosen by God? Are you believing all of the rubbish from the past that has rejected us? So I'm going to pray right now against rejection. Let's close our eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I come against rejection. I know it's something that I've had to break off my life continually, but I come against rejection in all its shapes or forms. I bind it, Lord, and I break its power right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I break its power, and I release over our lives acceptance in Jesus' name. And I release over our lives the fact and the truth that we're adopted by Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. We are accepted and adopted by God Himself. Romans 8:15 says this: you have received the spirit of adoption, yee-haw, the spirit producing sonship and daughtership, in which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. And if we're His children, then we're His heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing His inheritance with Him. That's amazing. We're stinking rich. Turn to someone today and say, we're stinking rich. In the kingdom of God, we're stinking rich. We're spiritually rich. Stop thinking of ourselves as poor. We're fellow heirs with Christ, sharing all His promises. All God has is ours. All of His grace, all of His mercy, all of His love, all of His forgiveness, all of His acceptance is ours. We inherit it all, and we all inherit it. Not just me on a microphone. Every single person in this room, if you're in Christ, you inherit. You're an heir. You're adopted. All of us are. God has no favorites. Here's a little scripture to go home with. This can change your life. If you don't go home with anything else, go home with this one. It's in Romans 2, verse 11. In the Amplified, it says, for God shows no partiality, undue favor, or unfairness. With Him, one man is not different from another. And the NIV just knocks the nail on the head. God does not show favoritism. God's not got any favorites. So what did your father show? How were your parents? Were there favorites in the family, but it wasn't you? Our Heavenly Father isn't like that. He's not like our earthly one. There's no favorites. He loves every single one of us the same. Jesus died the same death for every single person in this room, whether you're on a microphone or not. Front row, back row, died for every single one of us. I want to break off favoritism and inequality. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I come against just that lie from the enemy that someone else is a favorite and it's not us, and I break it in Jesus' name. I come against, Lord, any stronghold of inequality where people have been unfairly and unequally treated, especially in the families, Lord, and I bind that and I break it off in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And again, I speak acceptance in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if any of these things strike a chord with you, you can go home and pray them specifically for your life. Let's look at the love of a father. I mean, most of you will know the story in Luke. It's the one of the prodigal son. We're just going to look at a small section. But just a quick summary, there was two sons, a younger son and an older son, and the younger son said to his father, give me my share of the inheritance, and I want it now. Now, I know slightly what that feels like. I have two daughters, and when they're both in my bedroom, they go through my clothes and go, bags eye that one, bags eye that one, bags eye that one, and then they go through my jewelry, And I've got first dibs on that ring. I've got first dibs on that necklace. I just remind them I'm not dead yet, you know. But they've got their name on everything. I've got, yeah, you can have that one, you can have that one, you know. And they've got first dibs on everything. And there was even, I was cleaning out the garage this week. You would not have recognised me on Thursday. I was covered in dust. And you see when you start sweeping the garage, clouds and clouds of dust. And I've got all these baskets that you've got flowers in, you know. And they've even got first dibs on a couple of the baskets in the garage. And which one the big girl wants and which one the little girl wants, and I've not to chuck them out. Kids, Bridget, eh? Kids. So they've got first dibs on everything. So the younger son says, give me more, give me my money, and I'm out of here, okay? And he went to another country, spent all his money on wild living, then a famine hit the land, and he was penniless. Once he was penniless, he was also, surprise, surprise, friendless, because they all went out the door when the money ended. And he finds himself eating pig swill, and finally comes to his senses. And we're just going to pick up a few verses in Luke 15 and verse 20. So he got up and he came to his own father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with pity and tenderness for him. And he ran and embraced him, and he kissed him fervently. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his bondservants, bring quickly the best robe, the festive robe of honor, and put it on him, and give him a ring for his hand and sandals for his feet, and bring out that fattened calf and kill it, and let us feast and be happy, because this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. What a picture of love. This son has sinned. He let the father down. His head would have been full of questions. Should I return? Will I be accepted? What will he think about me? Does he still love me? I don't know what the questions are in your head. I don't know what your parents, what questions your father or your mother has left with you in your head, but I do know what the answer is. And it's right here on the wall in verse 20. It says, he got up and he came to the father. So whatever the question is, the answer is, come to the Father. Turn to God and his promises. Turn away from the lies that the enemies has fed us. Because some of us have been fed lies for years. And guess what? We've believed them for years. We've believed we're useless. We've believed we're not as intelligent as our sibling, or not as good looking as our sibling. We've believed all this rubbish. We've believed that we're the one in the family that's unsuccessful. We've believed all of these lies. And we swallowed them. You know, if you swallow a lie, it goes into your spiritual stomach. And that's what you're feeding on. That's the nutrition, and it's not very nutritious. So here's a truth. You ready for a truth today that'll knock your red socks off your feet? Here's a truth today. Swallowing the lies of the enemy is eating pig swill. It's eating pig swill. If you get up tomorrow morning and you've got negative thoughts in your head, you need to give them to God, because you're eating pig swill. You've been fed it through the night. And you've wakened up in the morning. Sometimes the first thought in my head can be pig swill. Oh, the pigs are here. Let's get out of bed, Sandra, and get some positive thoughts going through your brain. Dumped the lies we've been fed, that somehow we didn't meet their expectations, that we disappointed them. And I'm going to pray against that right now. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and I want to break every lie that we've been told, every disappointment that we've been told we are, and every lie that we've been fed, Lord. We make a decision today. We refuse to eat pig swill from this day forward, Father. And we make a decision today that we're going to recognize the lies as they flit through our head, and we're going to cast them out in Jesus' name. So I break lies, Lord, that go way back in our lives. In Jesus' name, I break them off. And I thank you, Father, for the truth. I release truth in Jesus' name. Amen. So in that scripture in verse 20, it said this, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and moved with pity and tenderness for him. He ran, embraced him, and kissed him fervently. This was no coincidence. No coincidence that the father spotted his son while he was still a long way off, a little dot on the horizon. You know, he spotted him coming towards you. He'd been looking every single day since he left. You know, if my child left, I'd be on the flat roofs in those days, made it convenient. I'd be on the roof. He would have been at the window, on the roof, looking for him. I can't remember if I said this example last week, but we can recognise the ones we love from a mile off. You know, Neil's done some marathons, he's done some half marathons. Here's a piece of advice. If you're going to watch someone in a marathon, tell them to wear red. Because you get 1,000 blue shirts coming towards you, there'll be one red, one green. You know, tell them to wear red, or it's just almost impossible. But, you know, we stood at that finish line at Kinross for that half marathon, I don't know how many times, me and the wee one, and we're standing there. This could be Daddy. This could be Daddy. And they run as far away as you can see. They run along a fence line, then they double back, and then they come down the winning street. Here it is. Here's a blue top, along with another 1,000 people. Here's a blue top. This could be Daddy. This could be Daddy. He's running along. Then he gets closer, and he comes down the home street. It's not Daddy. I can spot a mile off it's not Daddy's legs. I can spot a mile off it's not Daddy's hair. I can spot a mile off it's not Daddy's style of running. You know, it's not cool enough. I can spot a mile off it's not Daddy. No, it's not him. Don't worry, cheering. Here comes the next one. This could be Daddy. It's blue. It's blue. It's blue. It's got a white number on. So there's another 1,000 people. It could be Daddy. Comes down the finish line. No, it's not Daddy. Different legs. I know those legs. Then all of a sudden, look at this one, look at this one, look at this one. It's getting closer. Yes, it's Daddy. And we're there screaming our heads off. Come on, Daddy. Come on, Daddy. That's what we're screaming at the finish line. You should have seen me at the London Marathon. Oh, my goodness. We're at the London Marathon. I'm standing on the embankment, right? Now, thankfully, my sister was with us, or they may have needed to call an ambulance for me. My sister had a phone app. Isn't technology amazing? So Margaret's got the phone app of Neil's running. This little red dot is running around the phone. That's my idea of a marathon. Meanwhile, he's running over London Bridge, you know, or Tower Bridge, sorry. He's running over Tower Bridge, and he's coming down the side of the embankment, and we're standing there, and we're waiting. The market's going, it's getting closer, the red dot's getting closer, it's getting closer. Well, there was so much noise, and people banging these things together, you know. And there was a lady in front of me. We were like maybe behind the front row. I apologised before I started screaming. I said, I'm really sorry, but my husband's little red dot is coming over the bridge now. It's going to be coming up here. I'm going to be screaming his name. You carry on, she says. You dad on. If he's done the marathon, you scream your head off. I have never screamed so loud in my entire life. And he couldn't hear me. I'm screaming my head off. Neil! Neil! And he's passing me, and I'm desperate by then. I thought, I'm in London. I want to see my husband, you know. He's and I'm screaming my head off, and then all of a sudden it was like recognition. Oh, you're there. And I'm just about fainting. I've done a marathon, you know. We got squashed on so many tubes trying to follow the marathon. You recognize your loved one. That is the point. You are looking for your loved one. You're screaming your head off at your loved one. I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And you come home, kiss them fervently. You know, if my daughter had been away and she came home, she'd be flat on the floor with me on top of her. She would not get moving for me kissing her fervently and holding her and hugging her. And so we know our loved ones. We recognize them. And this father was no different. He was looking every day and longing every day, because that's what good fathers do. And this son came back, and he was smelly, and he was dirty, and he'd betrayed the father. Sometimes our kids will do that to us. Now, how does the father respond to the condition of the son? He embraced him and kissed him fervently, and he welcomed him with open arms. And I'm about to give you a revelation. That write it down, and it'll knock your socks off. Go home with this revelation. Okay, how does the father respond to the condition of the son? So here's the revelation. The condition of the son had no effect on the love of the father. No effect. He was stinking of pig swill and pig poo and anything else he'd been sitting in. Had no effect. Why? The father's love was unconditional. God's love for us is unconditional. So no matter what the enemy tells you again and again that you're not good enough and you've done it wrong and you can't pray in tongues the way Sandra can, you can't speak out loud the way Neil can, and you can't do any of these things, no matter what pig swill you've been swallowing, we need to break it off in Jesus' name, because we are good enough and God loves us unconditionally. Jesus fulfilled every condition at the cross for us. He paid the price for us so we would not have to. The love of God comes to us with no strings attached. There are no conditions left in the spirit realm over our lives. Just love. Just love. Verse 21, the son tells the father all his faults. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve love. And we do the same. We don't come to God and cast our golden crowns before him and say, you're just lovely. We come before him and say, God, I'm not good enough. We make it all about us. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I haven't had a quiet time for a fortnight. And we tell God everything that we've done wrong, and he knows it already. He just goes, going, blah, blah, blah. When will you be finished? Because I know all this. You know, he just wants us to love him. We give him a list of sins, thinking we don't deserve his love. Now, here's a word of knowledge for someone today. You don't think you deserve love. That's pig swill. That's what that is. That's pig swill, if you don't think you deserve love. As we pray right now. Father, I want to come against unworthiness and anyone feeling that they're unworthy, and I break it right now in Jesus' name. And I release a fresh revelation of your unconditional love in the name of Jesus. Amen. What's the dad's response to his son, the earthly father? I love those three words in verse 22. But the father. The son says, I'm useless and worthless. I've let you down again. But the father. But the father gets a robe and a ring and sandals and a lovely big fat juicy cow from Asda, and he puts on a feast. The next time the enemy says to you, you've sinned again, you've done it again, and you've let God down, we need to shout out, but the Father. But the Father loves me. But the Father accepts me. But the Father's forgiven me. Even if our own earthly father never accepted us, God does. Verse 24 says, my son was dead and is alive again. Don't ever be dead to God again. If you've found God, don't ever accept the lie and walk away. Don't ever be dead to God again. Come to him and come alive. I read this in my daily reading. The prodigal son got a revelation of who his father was. When he got that, he discovered who he himself was. That he was loved unconditionally. Jesus' son could only return home once he knew that the father wasn't going to shoot him or judge him. Once he discovered who the father was. First of all, he discovered that his father was full of love and not punishment. And secondly, he discovered that he himself was accepted and forgiven and loved unconditionally. So here's another revelation. Here's another revelation that will knock your socks off. Unconditional love was his all along. But the son didn't know it. He had to discover it. And once he knew the father had forgiven him, he was able to forgive himself. Folks, forgiving yourself is a choice, and you are the only one that can choose it. I can't choose it for you. You can't choose it for me. We have to choose it for ourselves. The unconditional love was his all along. Now, the father was celebrating because the son had returned home. But until we know the father loves us, we stay away from home. We stay away from the celebration. We don't come and praise him and worship him. We keep the father at arm's length, believing the lies that we're not worthy and eating his pig swill. The son had a revelation of the love of the father, and we need one too, every single day of our lives. Today's been a revelation that we have a father in heaven who loves us, regardless of our earthly father and how he treated us. You know, parents make mistakes in how they love or don't love their children. Children make mistakes in how they love or don't love their parents. So whether it's how we've treated others or it's how they have treated us, I want you to listen to this that God showed me after someone in my life died and I could no longer have a relationship with them and I regretted what we hadn't had. And God said this to me. He said, Sandra, you can only have the relationship with someone that they are willing to have. You can only have the relationship they're willing to have. We can't force love on someone who won't talk to us or won't meet with us. There are still people in my life now that I wanted a deeper relationship with, but they don't want that. They don't want me closer. They're not capable of it, is the bottom line. They've got things in their life they need healed of. I want to say, folks, don't beat yourself up over something that's out with your control. Just keep praying for them, keep loving them, and keep giving them to Father God. There was two brothers in the story, just to close. When the younger brother was forgiven, the older brother was angry. He was really hacked off. He thought he had to work hard to gain the father's love, so he'd worked his socks off. But the love was his all along as well, and he didn't know that. He didn't know who his father was, and he didn't know who he was. When we know who the Father is and who we are, we will know that we are loved regardless of what we do. So both sons had a poor relationship with their father. The younger one thought the father was a taskmaster to be avoided, thought, I'm not working for you, what you demand is too hard, give me my money and I'm going to do it my own way. The older son equally thought his father was a taskmaster who demanded that he work and earn the love of the father. And they were both wrong. The father just wanted to give them unconditional love and all that he had. And the very last verse of that story, which I didn't put up earlier, or in verse 31 of that chapter, it says, all that is mine is yours, he says to the son. All that God has is ours. We inherit all of God's love. The prodigal son is a love story of open arms and unconditional love. It tells of the open arms and unconditional love of Father God for us. Why don't you ask God to give you a revelation of his love today? I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up.